How's it going? Is everybody doing well? Good. If you would open your Bibles to Lamentations chapter 3, and if I was in your position, I'd probably be thinking, where in the world is Lamentations, right? Lamentations, if you get to Jeremiah, go right. It's right after Jeremiah. If you get to Ezekiel, you've gone too far. It's back to the left. It's right in the middle of those two, okay? So open your Bibles to Lamentations chapter 3, and while you get there, I will go ahead and introduce myself a little bit. My name is Corbin Hobbs, like Ben said, and I'm currently a student, a full-time student at Southern Seminary working on my MDiv, and I'm also part-time working as a church planting intern for the North American Mission Board, which is what the Annie Armstrong offering is all about. And Allie and I are hoping that in about a year and a half when I finish school, a year and a half, to be sent out by Southern Baptist churches and by the North American Mission Board to plant a new church in Denver, Colorado. Now, I could stand up here and talk to you for an hour and a half about everything I love about Denver, right, and sell you on coming with me. But Denver, just a little snapshot of it, Denver is a city that's a little less than 10% evangelical. And so to put that into terms we all understand, that means 9 out of 10 people that you meet in Denver do not know Jesus, have no relationship with Jesus. And so we want to go there and take the gospel there and see people come to know and love and serve Jesus. Okay, so that being said, let's go ahead and turn our attention to our text this morning in Lamentations. And there's one question that I want to govern everything that is said this morning. There's one question that I want to stand over everything that I say, and that question is this. What are you hoping in? What are you hoping in this morning? Here's another way of asking that. When you came in the doors this morning, what is it that gives you hope for the world? What is it that gives you hope personally? And the reason that I ask that question is because we live in a world that is absolutely wrecked by the devastating effects of sin. And so here's some examples of that. Some examples of that would be death and sickness. And we see terrorism and natural disasters. We see, if you've watched the news at all in the past week, one of the effects of this is that planes just disappear with 240 people on them, right? It's an effect of sin. But you know, sin isn't just out there. Sin also has devastating effects on our lives. So here's some examples of that. Maybe you walked in the doors this morning and you are fighting depression. You're just walking through a dark time. Maybe you walked in here this morning and your marriage is literally about to fall apart. Maybe you came in here this morning and you're in deep and hidden sin that nobody else knows about. Maybe you came in here this morning, I see that we have some parents, and you're just fighting your rebellious kids. And you look at this situation, you're like, man, where's my hope? I don't have any hope. These things are beating me down. Maybe you have a friendship that has just been wrecked and torn apart by pride and anger and jealousy. You see, every single one of our lives has been, is currently, and will be affected by the devastating effects of sin. And in the midst of these things, it's so easy for us to lose view of what we have hope in. And so the question is, what are you hoping in the midst of your darkness and suffering? As we turn to Lamentations, I know this is a super random book, but the book of Lamentations is really 5 chapters that functions as a magnifying glass on a man's life who is walking through a really dark season. It's really a magnifying glass into a man's life who is suffering terribly. Lamentations is 5 chapters of a man crying out to God as he suffers hard, hard things. And so we need to understand that the author of Lamentations is not that different from us. We are struggling from the effects of sin. And as we look to this book this morning, we see that so is this author. Let's look at some examples of this to go ahead and set up our text. If you look in chapter 2, just flip back a couple of pages. If you look in chapter 2, verse 11, he says this, "My eyes are spent with weeping. My stomach churns. My bile is poured out to the ground." If you flip over to chapter 3, starting in verse 4, he says things like this, and I just am trying to give you a picture of how the author of Lamentations is feeling. "He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago." Look at verses 7 through 9. "He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stones. He has made my paths crooked." And then we're getting closer to our text for this morning if you look to verses 16 and 18. I just want you to understand what this man's fighting through. Verse 16 says this, "He has made my teeth grind on gravel. It made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace." That's Bible language. "For my soul doesn't have any peace anymore. I've forgotten what happiness is. So I say my endurance has perished. I don't have any endurance anymore. So my hope is gone. My hope from the Lord has perished as well." And man, we all walk in here and we either are currently in a season like this or we've been there, because of the devastating effects of sin. And so some of you are probably thinking, man, is this guest preacher going to come in here and just preach this like doom and gloom message this morning, right? No, I'm not. I want to call your attention to the text that is our text for this morning. And in the middle of this dark and hard book, there's a glimmer of light. And the glimmer of light is found in Lamentations 3, verses 21 through 23. And this is our text this morning. Let me go ahead and read this, and then we'll pray, and we're just going to walk through the text for the rest of our time together. The word of the Lord says this, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Would you guys pray with me this morning? Father, I pray that as we look to your word, that you would use it to comfort us. That you would use it to comfort us, and that it would point us to the great hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. The main point of this sermon this morning, and so when I say that, when you walk out of those doors, here is what I want you to remember. If you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember this sentence. In the middle of the pain and suffering of our lives, the only sure hope that we have is found in Jesus Christ. Okay? Here, let me read that again, because I don't want you to miss this. In the middle of the pain and suffering of our lives, the only sure hope that we have is found in Jesus Christ. Let's look to the text. Verse 21, look to verse 21. He says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." He says, okay, guys, I'm about to talk about three things. And it's because of these three things that I'm going to talk about that I can have hope in the midst of my hard situation. It's because of these three things that we're going to walk through for the rest of our time together this morning that we can also have hope in the midst of our pain and suffering. Okay? And so he says, I'm going to call three things to mind, and it's because of these three things that I have hope. And so my goal this morning as the preacher is to call to your mind these three things as well. And my hope and my prayer is that you will find hope in these three things in the midst of your pain and suffering, in the midst of the pain and suffering in your lives. And so the first thing that I want us to see this morning is that we can find hope in Jesus Christ because his steadfast love never ceases towards us. We can find hope in Jesus Christ because his steadfast love never ceases towards us. Let's look at verse 22. It says this, first part of verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. So here's the question. Here's the natural question that you should ask when you read this verse. Why does the steadfast love of the Lord give us hope? Why does the steadfast love of the Lord give us hope? And here's the answer. God's steadfast love gives us hope because it's a covenantal love. Okay. Here's the natural question. What in the world is covenantal love? Right? That is not a term that we are very familiar with. And so here's what I want to do. To explain this, I want to give you two pictures. The first picture is a picture of a dating relationship, okay? And the second picture is a picture of marriage. Okay, so let's talk about dating. Okay, so if it's been a while since you've dated, try to like rewind your mind to high school. For some of you, that's a really good, like glorious thing. For some of you, that's horrible because you were awkward in high school, right? So rewind your mind to high school and think about how dating works. Here's how dating works. Dating works like this. If you do these things for me, then I will love you. If you do these things for me, then I will love you. It's contractual. So here's a picture. You're in the lunchroom, right, in your high school. You see a cute girl across the lunchroom. You write a note and say, hey, you want to go on a date to your favorite restaurant? Let's think of a nice restaurant. J. Alexander's is a nice restaurant. I think we have a guy that works in J. Alexander's in here, right? And so you're going to J. Alexander's. She says yes. You're like, all right, let's go on this date, right? So you go and you pick her up, and you head to J. Alexander's. You have awkward conversation in the car. You get to J. Alexander's. You get the appetizer. Maybe you get some bread. And all of a sudden, this girl just starts, like, smacking her food and like chewing with her mouth wide open, right? And you're like, that is disgusting. I hate when people smack their food. I really do. I think it's gross. And so this girl is just throughout the whole meal, like she's talking about things, but the only thing that you can focus on is that she is smacking her disgusting food and that you see the expensive steak that she ordered all up in her teeth, right? That's gross. And so what do? You say, uh-uh, not having that. I'm not dating this girl. It's contractual love. So you do this for me, I'm going to love you. But the second you do something weird, I'm done. I'm out of this. So you say, done. Next girl. You go, you see another cute girl in the lunchroom, right? Back in high school, thinking back to high school. You write her a note. You have your friend take it to her because you're not man enough to take it to yourself. And so you go over there. Your friend goes over there, hands her the note. She agrees to go on a date. You go on this date, man, the date's going really well. And all of a sudden, what happens? You get home, you're going to hang out with your parents for a little bit, maybe eat some dessert with your parents at your parents' house. You get there, and you start smelling this really bad smell. You're like, oh, what is that smell? And you notice that she's taking her shoes off and her feet reek, right? And you're like, uh-uh, I didn't sign up for that. Uh-uh, done. You see, dating is like this. You do these things for me, and I'll love you. But the second you get weird on me, the second you do something that I don't like, I'm out of here. Now, let's think about marriage. What happens with marriage? In marriage, you stand in a church, and you, what, covenant before God and all of the people watching you to love the person that is standing across from you like this in sickness and in health. And so when that translates to this. Whenever you get back from the honeymoon and your wife takes her shoes off and her feet stink or smacks her food, you say, okay, no matter you doing that, I'm here with you. I'm never giving up on you. When your husband leaves the toilet seat up and it drives you crazy, women, you say, okay, that doesn't matter because I've covenanted to love you. I'm never leaving you. And the Apostle Paul tells us that in Ephesians 5 that marriage is really a picture of our relationship with God. It's covenant love. And God's love says this. This is why we can call it steadfast. Because he says this about his children. He says, listen, you can hope in my steadfast love because no matter how weird you get, no matter how you sin against me, I'm there. I'm never giving up on you. My love isn't going to change towards you. Even if the entire world deserts you, I'm there pursuing you. Why? Because I love my children. That's why his love is called steadfast, and that's why we can hope in his love this morning. God's steadfast love gives us hope because it's a covenantal love. And covenantal love says, no matter what you do, it's not based on everything you do, it's based on my steadfast love towards you. There's hope in that. There's hope in that. So first, we can hope in God's steadfast love. Second, we see this. We can find hope in Jesus because his mercies never come to an end. Look at the text. Starting in verse 22, he says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. We've talked about God's steadfast love. Second, he says this, his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. So here's the question we ask. So we're talking about hope. We're saying these things give us hope. So why does God's mercy give us hope? Answer, God's mercy gives us hope because in him there is great forgiveness for great sin. God's mercy gives us hope because there's great forgiveness for great sin. You see, for the book of Lamentations, this author is a part of the people of Judah. And the people of Judah have sinned greatly against their God. They've intermarried, they've worshipped idols, and because of this, they're experiencing devastating effects for their sin. And so we have to view this author in the midst of deep sin. And in the midst of his sin, he's looking up to God and he says, God, I'm going to hope in you because you have steadfast love in your people, for your people, but I'm not only hoping in you because of that, I'm hoping in you because you forgive great sin and I'm a great sinner. And man, this is us this morning. We can hope in the mercy of God because God forgives our sins in his great mercy. A good picture of this is found in Luke chapter 15, and you don't have to go there, but we have the story or the parable of the prodigal son. And in the parable of the prodigal son, what happens? The son goes and blows, he says, Dad, I wish you were dead. I just want my inheritance. And the son goes and blows all the money on the worst things that you can conjure up in your mind. And what happens? The son is eating pig's food. And he says, man, my father's servants are treated better than this. So he runs back to his father. And what do we expect? I know we're so familiar with this story, but what do we expect? We expect the father, when the son comes home, to be like, son, get out of here. You have blown it. But what does the father say? He sees his son on the road, and the father runs to him, and he says, son, he doesn't condemn him for his sin, but he says, son, I love you. I'm so glad you're home. Come on, we're going to put a ring on your finger. We're going to give you the best robe, and somebody go kill a cow. Why are they killing the cow? Because we're throwing a party. What's the text say? The text says this, for my son was lost, and he is found. My son was dead, and he is alive, so we're partying. That is a great picture of mercy and the mercy that God has for us as his children. The other picture that we have of God's great mercy is the picture of Jesus hanging on the cross. As Jesus hangs on the cross, what does he do? He's taking all of the wrath that you deserve for your sin so that you can have a sweet relationship with the Father. Jesus works on the cross in his great mercy so that you can be forgiven of your great sin. See, the good news of the gospel says that you are never too far gone to be restored into right relationship with your heavenly Father. The good news of the gospel says this, in God's great mercy, there is great forgiveness for great sin. So if you're sitting in here this morning, here's an implication of this. If you're sitting in here this morning and you came in here and you're like, man, I don't even feel worthy of coming to church. I don't even feel worthy of being around God's people. I don't even feel worthy of hearing God's word preached. You're feeling that way because of some deep and hidden sin in your life. Listen, you're not beyond hope. The author's telling us that we can hope because God has great mercy. And so don't feel this way as you walk in here, but run and cling to Christ, because in Christ there's great forgiveness for great sin. There's great mercy in God, and you can find hope this morning because He forgives sin in His great mercy. So the author says first, he says, we can find hope in Jesus Christ because His steadfast love never ceases towards us. Second, we can hope in Jesus because His mercies never come to an end this morning. And then lastly, we see that we can find hope in Jesus because He is totally 1,000,000% faithful to His people. And we just sang the song, Great is Your Faithfulness. And then we're gonna talk about the faithfulness of God over the next few minutes. And so we can find hope in Jesus because He is faithful to His people. Look at the end of verse 23. He's meditating on the steadfast love of the Lord. He's meditating on the mercies, and these things are giving him hope. And the last thing he says here is, great is your faithfulness. So here's the question we ask. Why does God's faithfulness give us hope? And here's the answer. Because in the midst of our faithlessness, He is faithful to bring about exactly what He promises. In the midst of your faithlessness, that is your up and down roller coaster of a life, He is totally faithful to you to bring about all that He has promised. Okay, so if you're anything like me, I alluded to it a second ago. If you're anything like me, your life is like a roller coaster. And here's what I mean by that. One morning you wake up and you're like at the top of the roller coaster. You're pursuing the Lord. You feel filled with the Spirit. You're pursuing and loving Jesus. Maybe you share the gospel with a lost person that day. You're loving your wife or your husband or your kids well. You're doing really well at loving your neighbor as yourself. And then Tuesday, let's say that's Monday, Tuesday morning hits, you wake up late. You're like scrambling to put your shoes on. You don't get into the Word. You maybe gripe at your wife right before you leave for work. You're just having a bad day. You see, our lives are like a spiritual roller coaster, up and down. One day we're faithful. One day we're absolutely faithless. But the good news this morning, and the reason we can find hope this morning, because in the midst of our faithlessness and our great roller coaster, God is always there, 100% faithful to His people. You see, we have a tendency to put our faith in our faithfulness to God rather than looking outside of ourselves and saying, listen, I'm jacked up. I'm faithless a lot of days. But my hope isn't in myself. My hope's in the faithfulness of God to me, not my faithfulness to Him. There's a greater hope in that because God is always faithful to His people. God is always faithful to His people. You see, Paul shed some light on this truth in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. He says this, even when we are faithless, God remains faithful, for He cannot and will not deny Himself. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, look, even in your faithlessness, you have a great hope this morning because God remains faithful. And so the question is, are you putting your faith in your faithfulness to God or God's faithfulness to you? Are you putting your faith in your faithfulness to God or God's faithfulness to you? I want to exhort you and encourage you this morning. And I want to beg you to put your hope in the faithfulness of God to His people. Because listen, even when you fail, God remains 100% faithful. He's not ever going to leave you or forsake you. He's going to bring about all of the things that He has promised. And so what has He promised? And why do those things give us hope? Well, He's promised a lot of things in His Word. I think one of them was in our scripture reading this morning from Philippians. He says, everything that He begins, He's going to finish. He also promises that He's never going to leave or forsake His children. He promises that not any of His children can be snatched out of His hand. He also promises that we will not be tempted beyond what we can bear. So there's a lot of promises that God makes to his people in Scripture, but I want to draw your attention to one this morning as we begin to close. And as I read this text from Revelation chapter 21, I want you to let God's faithfulness shed light on this text. And as I read this, I want you to let it build your hope that the faithful God is really working to bring this about. So let's look at what the faithful God is working to bring about. Revelation 21, 1 through 7 says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." And listen to this promise. This is amazing. Verse 4, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall not be anymore. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things," that is what we're experiencing now, "have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Listen, God has promised that, and in his faithfulness, he's going to bring that about. There's a day coming where he's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. There's a day coming when we're not going to experience the death of loved ones. There's a day coming when he's going to make all things new. And so as Christians, if you're a Christian in here, we should be the most hope-filled people in the world. Why? Because we have a faithful God who loves us and is merciful towards us and has promised, "Listen, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. I'm not going to leave you in the situation that you're in right now, but I'm going to make all things new." You see, this text in Lamentations is working to lift our eyes up from ourselves, to lift our eyes up from the hope that we find in maybe changing our situation or a relationship getting restored, and says, "No, don't put your hope in those things. Put your hope in the faithful God who loves his people. Put your hope in the faithful God who loves his people." The whole Bible shouts, listen, there's no hope outside of Jesus Christ. There is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. And so as we close, I want to draw two applications out of this. Two applications as we close really quick. If you're a Christian here, I want to encourage you to open your Bible for the next 7 days, from this Sunday till next Sunday. Open your Bible for the next 7 days to Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 23, and pray and say, "God, especially if you're struggling with finding hope, say, God, show me the hope that you promise. Show me the hope that you promise your people." I mean, I promise, God's not going to ignore that prayer. God's going to show you the hope that he has promised to his people. Second application, if you're not a Christian, and by that I mean this, if you are not currently following Jesus, if you haven't repented of your sin and trusted Christ, here's your application. We've talked a lot about hope this morning. And the most loving thing that I can tell you is if you're not following Jesus, the hope that we've talked about this morning is not yours. It's not yours. But the best news in all the world is that it can be. It can be. You see, Jesus came and lived the life that we were supposed to live. He perfectly obeyed the law in our place. And not only that, but he died the death that we deserve on the cross so that we might have a restored relationship with the Father. And if the Bible says, if you confess with your sin that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved. Let me interpret that. You can be saved. You can be saved and know God, and in knowing God, everything that we talked about today, this hope that we talked about today, can and will be yours. That's amazing news. And so I want to invite the music people up, and we're going to have a time of invitation. And I'm going to close us out, but listen, if you're here and you do not know Jesus, you don't have this hope, but we desperately want you to have this hope because there's nothing more fulfilling than knowing that you have a faithful God. Would you guys pray with me this morning? Father, we know that you are faithful to your people. You love us steadfastly. You will never give up on us. And we thank you that we have a great hope in you. And in the middle of our pain and suffering, we can look to you and find hope because you love us. You're merciful towards us when we sin, and you're faithful to bring about everything that you've promised. We pray for those in here that don't know you, God. Would you save them? Would you open their eyes so that they will trust you and follow you, and so that they can have this great hope that we've talked about today? In Jesus' name, amen. Ben's going to be down here in the front. If you want to know Jesus and know this hope, then you can come up and talk to him.